You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Britt Bolnick. Britt is a successful business owner and magic maker living a life she loves in Maine. She has traveled a path from financial scarcity to financial independence, building a six-figure business she loves as a single mama working less than full-time. Britt mentors women who are 100% committed to building thrive businesses that create visibility and wealth without compromising personal life or their sanity. She is teaching women to use authentic connections to build success. Now, Britt is the owner and founder of In Arms Coaching. Now, we know from experience that when we're trying to follow the traditional CEO, boss lady roadmap, it doesn't look anything like we dream. So I want you, Britt, to like explain that to us and how do we deal with that, the fact that it's delusional.
Yeah. But first of all, thank you so much for having me on. This is such an honor and I appreciate it. One of the things that I really like to highlight is that when we talk about the CEO or even the boss lady model, which is like the female version of the CEO model, this is a patriarchal construct that was created by men, by white men,
yep,
in the era of like the 50s. And the reason that it worked so well for them was because they had wifey at home holding it all down. And that's why they could leave at 7 a.m. after having their paper and their morning coffee and go be in business all day and then take out their clients for drinks at night and then come home at 7 o'clock or 8 at night. The kids were still alive. The house wasn't burned down and there was food on the table. That's because they had wifey. We are wifey.
Yeah.
So for us to try to build that way, it just creates this horrible compromise that we have to struggle under. You know, do we be successful women business owners out there doing our work, having an impact, changing the world? Or do we be, you know, a wife, a daughter to aging parents, a mother, a sister, a community member? And we've had to split ourselves to make that all possible. So building as women from a patriarchal construct doesn't work for us. And it just drives us to, you know, the burnout and the spiritual, emotional, and physical disconnect that every woman I know is suffering from and trying to heal and rebuild.
Yeah. There's a really good saying that says behind a strong man is a stronger woman. And that's what you just alluded to. It's like those men were powerful. They were strong because of the woman behind them who's maintaining and keeping all that. Now there's a need that we women are coming out. We're coming out on our own and actually wearing those hats, being the boss, being the CEO, running our own businesses. And yet we still are maintaining the home, making the relationship, making sure the kids are healthy. And so tell us, what do we do? How do we maintain that long term?
Well, so there are a couple of pieces. And I'll say that although I'm not a single mother anymore, my daughter's almost 15. I was a single mother until she was about 8. And for most of that time, I've always had sole custody of her since she was 15 months old. Her dad left, no child support. I had to go on food stamps. I had to move back in with my mother. I was privileged to have that option, but it was still not fun. Yeah. And I worked. I waitressed and I bartended for, you know, 6-7 nights a week and had a toddler that woke up at 4 in the morning. And amidst all of that, I built In Arms Coaching. And I think that one of the things that I had to realize was that my path wasn't going to look like anyone else's. I had a business coach. She created an amazingly successful business very, very soon after she opened. And she was the one that I kind of compared myself to. And it was important for me to realize that she had a husband who was the house husband while she built her business. And then when she got really successful, she sent him to school for his thing and he got to do that. But I didn't have that. My path didn't look like hers. So the first thing that I really had to do was remove the pressure for it to look like someone else's path, because it wasn't going to. And the other thing that was really important to me was to understand what my priorities were. It was paramount that I get out of debt and make enough money to support myself and my kid. But even more important than that was my sanity and well-being. And then right under that, her sanity and her well-being. And everything else had to be put into my schedule around that. That had to come first. And that meant that I had to really work on my inner work around creating boundaries. I had to work on my tendency to sort of be a helper and overgive. I really had to create firm boundaries to say, no, I am not doing okay. I have to come first, then the kid, then the business. And that's how it has to go into my calendar. And that's really what allowed me to create a path. I mean, I moved slower than people that I was comparing myself to, because when I started in arms coaching, I had about 4 hours a week to build a business, and I was exhausted and heartbroken and sick, and you know, it moved slowly, and that was okay.
Yeah, it's kudos, a very powerful story there, because it really takes all that you have to really not compare yourself to other people.
Yes,
it's just so hard, because you're like, well, if they're doing it this way, then I should be able to do it, and it just builds insecurity.
Yeah,
right. In your journey, in your path, and just having to be able to say no. It's hard to say no, because if you're not healthy, you are no use to anyone else.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of moms, a lot of women don't want to agree to that, because it's been ingrained in our brain from generations after generations that we're supposed to be the home taker, take care of everyone around us. And we do. We walk around emotionally just taking people's burden onto us, and then it's taxing on our own health. But then we realize we got to do the self-care. What was the self-care for you, and what do you teach your client?
Back then, it was very different. I mean, back then, it was like sleeping more than 4 hours a night, giving myself time to cry, grieving, and making new friends. I had lost a lot of my friends. And the breakup with my husband when he left was just, it just really made me question. It really caused a deep, deep wound. So the healing was around that, and just getting myself to a point where I wasn't literally sick anymore.
Yeah.
Now the self-care is really about remembering that even though I'm not in crisis mode anymore, and I don't allow that to happen to the best of my ability, the same structural pieces have to be in place. I come first, my kiddo and my husband and my home and my dogs and my chickens and my land come second, my business comes third. And now I have a nonprofit that I started 3 or 4 years ago. So that and my business sort of operate on the same level. But, you know, the boundaries are really important. Boundaries are self-care for women. They are absolutely self-care for women. They are imperative. Moving my body, getting out in nature. I know that depends on where we're all holed up at this point, but I feel supremely blessed to have made a move to Maine 8 years ago from New York City. So our quarantine has been
two different worlds.
So different. And I wish I had done it sooner, but our quarantine has been on 8 acres on a river. So it hasn't, I mean, I'm like, oh, I have to stay home. Great.
I'll be here.
Yep.
I got nature.
Yeah. And then the other part that's been really an integral part of my self-care, well, there are two. One is my circle of women. I like to say that as much as I love my husband, and as devastating as it would be to not have that relationship, I would be okay. I'd move on. If I didn't have my circle of women, I would not be okay. That's non-negotiable. Yeah. They're my heart, and they're just my partners in life. So that, and then making time for magic, the pieces that allow me to work on changing my energy, because I believe that whatever change we want to see in the world has to start with us. And too many of us are throwing rocks at external pieces of the world that we don't like, when we're not looking at how we are contributing to and participating in that change that we are up on a pedestal yelling about. So making time for the self-work is really a part of self-care.
So is that the time for magic? Is that the self-care, the change that you want to see in the world? Be the change that you want to see?
Yes, it's part of it. I mean, taking the time, my time for magic is about stopping and breathing, which I think we all need to do. It's about looking honestly at myself and really being honest about the places where I can grow and the places where I'm not quite living up to the way that I want to be living up, the places that I might have fallen out of integrity, and the places that I really want to grow and foster growth. And those are hard. It's hard to look at yourself and say, where am I falling short? Where am I a part of the problem?
Right.
What inside of me is a part of the problem? And that's humbling work, but I take it very seriously. And I also feel that it's a part of my self-care that I surround myself with women who are honest with me. When I complain to them about something, they might say, you know what, boo? That was on you.
Right.
You need to look at that a little more closely. That's your stuff.
Right.
And I really value that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with you that self-care, it's so imperative, yet it takes, it's hard.
It is
That's
hard.
Why a lot of people don't do it. It really takes so much out of you, but the transformation is totally worth it. There was a good quote by Einstein that says, you can't solve the problems with the same mind that created them.
Yes, I love that. And there's just so much, the last 3 days, I feel like all I've been saying over and over again is look at yourself, look at yourself, look at where you're contributing to the problem. Be honest with yourself, you know? I mean, there's just this like obtuseness in the world right now. That's just, it's horrifying to me and it's heartbreaking and it's killing us all.
Yeah.
It's killing us.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about your morning routine.
Okay.
How do you get up, dress up, and show up? What do you do?
Okay. So I'll be honest in saying that my morning routine changes because one of the things that I'm not great at is really sticking kind of like dogmatically to something. I tend to fail when I do that. So my morning routine is more about creating space for me to start the day from a place of groundedness and centeredness and focused, you know, a place of focus, then it is about what I do to achieve that. And I've found that with that flexibility, I don't set myself up to fail.
Yeah.
So making space for prayer, for grounding, I work with the tarot a lot. So often I'll stop and pull a card for the day and write down what I think it means. And then I'll come back to it at night and sort of interpret it. I might meditate. It might be a day where I'm really rushed and I woke up late and maybe my time and space for myself is just walking through the woods with the dogs and accomplishing two things at once. But having that space before I hit the ground running is really imperative. And then putting something into my body that nourishes me. It might be a really big glass of water.
Yeah.
It might be, you know, something. But making sure that I am nourishing myself before I spend the day nourishing other people, and that committing to that act of showing up to me is an act of integrity, because I feel like I preach that all day long to women. And if I fall short on that, then I'm out of integrity and I'm not walking my talk. So that's very important to me.
Yeah. And I love how you put, you know yourself very well. You had to at this stage of life, right? You've been through quite a
Hopefully.
Lot. You're very successful. And so I love the theme aspect of your morning routine. It's not you're doing specific things. You're like, what I want to accomplish, the objective is groundedness.
Yeah.
How do I do that? And that can change from day to day. Could be prayer. It could be meditation. It could be the tarot card, whatever it is. But you know what you need to do in the morning to actually set the tone for the day, because that's what happens.
Yeah.
And I love the nourishing the body, and also not just the body, but the mind, but hydrating first thing in the morning, right? You got to feed your body, but you also have to feed your mind.
So important. People don't realize that when you get up in the morning, depending on how long you've slept and when you last had a glass of water, your body might not have had any water for up to 12 hours. That's terrible for you. So even I stopped drinking coffee about a month ago, but even before that, I would try to drink a large glass of water before I had the coffee and then after I had the coffee, because you wake up dehydrated. And so many Americans don't understand that a lot of the things that we trigger us to have a cup of coffee or a sweet snack are actually dehydration.
Right.
So I feel like my daughter makes fun of me, because no matter what, if she comes to me complaining about something, it doesn't matter what she's saying is happening. I'll say, did you drink a glass of water? And she's like, Mom, that doesn't fix everything in the world. And I'm like, no, but you start there. You know, you're never going to go wrong. Start with a glass of water.
That's the first thing on my app, the Hit Savers app that is launching in a few weeks, is hydration.
Yes.
You have to drink first thing in the morning because it helps with brain fog. You wake up and you're not feeling 100%. Hydrate the body. Your brain is 72% of water. It's been parched. It's at a fasted state at night. You have to wake up and hydrate.
Yes.
And I'm so glad you put that in there. And I have an ebook about it. Like, first things first, hydrate, because I wrote about how toxin, it helps alleviate toxin out of the body. And it's just, it's phenomenal. You just one glass. And it is just the night before. Put it right next to your bedstand. That way you have no excuse. You're like, oh, the kitchen's too far. It's cold. I don't want it in my body. But if it's on your nightstand, it's the room temperature. You alleviate that extra step.
That is really smart. I hadn't thought of that, and I'm going to do that. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I know you are pressed for time, Britt. I want to give you an opportunity to let your listeners know how they can connect with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am ridiculously active on Facebook, to my partner's horror, but you can always find me under the name Britt Bolnick. I have a professional, my coaching page and my personal page. And then the website is www.inarmscoaching.com, all one word. And I would love to, can I talk about the gift? Is that okay?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Please.
So the gift that when we talked about doing this interview, the gift that I really want to give to you is something, it's a tool that I created called Sacred Structure. And I created it because back when in those days of not sleeping and holding a clinging, crying toddler and trying to start a business and working full time, I Googled time management because I felt like I was doing a miserable job trying to fit everything in. Actually, it was that there was too much on my plate. But when I Googled time management, again, I found that all of the time management tools were written by men. All of the ones that I could find at that point, and this was 14 years ago, were written by men. And it wasn't relevant because they weren't trying to do what I was trying to do. So I created my own. And Sacred Structure is a time management tool that allows you to assess your heart-centered priorities and then plan your time according to those so that your time is a container for the things that matter to you. And those are going in first, and then all the other things are coming in after those. So it's a really robust freebie. There's like some worksheets and some videos because it's really important to me that we understand that it's not that we're doing it wrong. It's that the systems that we're finding often weren't made for us and by us.
Right.
So I love that tool. And I hope that folks use it and find it useful. And you can always hit reply to any of the emails that you're getting and ask me questions about it as well.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah, I'll absolutely put it on the show notes and give that an opportunity for my listeners to go check it out and sign up for the Sacred.
Thank you.
It's great. Thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me again. This was delightful.
Pleasure.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.